the gurus of how to are here. Al and Larry Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And they visit us regularly to answer your questions about home repair and related matters. And also, we have a little quiz when you come by. What else?
Yes, we have this little
quiz. You have advice?
We have advice. We have things that concern us from time to time.
Yes, and we even have your staff asking us questions.
So
that's nice, too.
So we're helping everybody wherever we go.
And the number to call if you need help is 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org. Also, tweet us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate, all the ampersand, and my name is one word. Mm-hmm. Or you can also find us on Facebook. Lots of ways to reach us if you're desperate. And if you're not desperate, we'll take your call as well.
You know that little at sign? You used to see it as prevalent as you do it now. But now people are writing sentences, and instead of wording saying at, they put that little a ampersand.
They also say to using a number, and people are just getting lazier, don't you think?
Like, how often do I actually, when I'm typing actually a letter, I use you are instead of your?
What about capital letters? Are you using capital letters?
You mean
to
yell at people? No, I don't yell at people. I leave that for actual yelling.
No, I mean just starting off a sentence with a capital letter.
Oh, yeah,
letter.
I do.
A lot of people aren't doing that either.
Yeah. I think we have an interesting question this time. Architecturally,
this is different.
Historical.
This is a departure. Can I read it?
Oh, I wrote it for you.
Name the architect who wrote 10 books on architecture over 2,000 years ago. Today, he's being credited for the first introduction of ergonomics when it comes to stair design, safety, and comfort. Okay,
I have a feeling this one's going to go on for a couple months.
Do we insist on the complete name?
Well, yeah. Well, no. He could any part of the name is okay with me. And those architects that are out there, my architectural friends, if you haven't paid attention to history of architecture, you may not know it. Mm-hmm. If you did pay attention to history and architecture's courses, you may know who this is.
But maybe that would be an unfair advantage, don't you think? I would prefer somebody who's not an architect.
If you're not an architect, for those people who are not an architect, they're going to look at it, try to find it in Google.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult.
Anyway, the number here is 212-433-9692, whether you want to talk about home repair and related matters or whether you think you know the answer, the name of this architect. Right now we despite some of the warmest weather in the history of in recorded history, we've had a couple of snowstorms.
Mm-hmm. Snowstorms? We have
one tonight.
We were underwater, for a little
while.
You
were underwater.
I was underwater. I was underwater 18 inches into the first floor. My basement took 3 days to pump it out. Lawrence helped me pump it out. And
it's good you know something about how to do that.
Yes.
Some of us
wasn't the know-how. It was just getting the equipment.
Yeah, he was up in Boston.
Yeah, I was actually in Boston at the time, as people know who listen to the show. But the thing is that we are recovering from that, and it's a slow process. But what I'm finding, I've wanted to discuss this for a few months now, is I do a lot of inspections in parts of the New York that are kind of now becoming gentrified, like Bed-Stuy and like parts of, around the outer parts of Williamsburg and Greenpoint, where people are buying up properties and rehabbing them. And a lot of people are very concerned about how the work is done, whether it's permitted. And a lot of them is not permitted. A lot of people they don't really change the certificate of occupancy of the building or the usage, and they just do some renovation. They rip out kitchens and put new kitchens in. And there are telltale signs when you do a walkthrough of these properties of what to look for to tell you whether you think the person really did a legitimate job. And the big ones are look for the exterior termination points of ventilators, like bathroom ventilators, like kitchen ventilators. A lot of times, a lot of these people will cut so many corners that they will just put a fan on the ceiling and it just vents
into a cavity.
Into the cavity of the building, into the joists. So basically, all that moisture that you think you're getting rid of is just causing mold somewhere else. Or worse, a cooktop ventilator. You have a nice, beautiful, cooktop. It's all stainless steel. It looks beautiful. It has the lights. In the meantime, all that greasy air is getting pumped right into the cavity of the building, which makes a really good attractant for insects, roaches, and things like that. You open up the wall years later, and you have a colony going on there. And you say, why can't I get rid of the roaches? That's why, especially if you're a cook. And these days, people are loving cooking. So those are telltale signs. Run sinks. If you fill a sink up with water and you let the water go down and it gurgles back at you like country sinks tend to do, that's another indicator. Look at the beams in the basement. If you see they cut out a piece of the beam to put a piece of piping through, that's another indicator. So there are a bunch of indicators. Also the use of PEX, cross-linked polyethylene piping, for hot and cold water. Not allowed to do that in the city. So if you see those things, those are the things to tend to look for, and that will be a telltale sign to you of what the quality of the workmanship is.
I understand that people are starting to put waste disposal units into
garbage disposal.
Garbage disposal in their sinks in New York. Is there a law about it?
No more. But the problem is, if it is like the drain is only about an inch and a half or 2 inches, it's going to get clogged up right away. It has to be at least 2 and 3 inches or greater. Otherwise, things will cling to the inside of the pipe, and it'll become like arterial sclerosis, where all of a sudden it gets blocked up, or there is an elbow that is an elbow drain rather than a sweep drain, where what you're grinding up can't make the turn, and it just packs up in that corner, and then you have a problem.
But the city is encouraging us to put them in. You know, they want you to use it.
Where they discouraged us in the past.
They discouraged us in the past. Now they're encouraging us because it reduces the amount of rodent attractant garbage on the streets and also reduces the amount of garbage. One thing I have to say is that you're generally not going to have a 3-inch waste pipe coming out of a kitchen sink. It's just not. You're only going to have a 2-inch. What the real thing is how old is the building? If the building is a building that's, let's say, the 60s or 70s and older, putting in a garbage disposal in that kind of building is going to be a problem because those pipes are old and built up with crud anyway. But if you have a brand new building that has nice new no-hub or PVC piping,
you may get away with it.
Then you really will get away with it. But it does cause problems. And repairs will ensue. And don't grind up corn husks.
My guests are the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or tweet us at Leonard Lopate. That's our Twitter handle. We also can be reached on Facebook. And I am Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I am. We have a lot of calls coming in.
Okay.
And I want to get right to the first one. This is from Don from New Jersey. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Don.
What's up, guys?
I
love your show. I'm rebuilding my house after Sandy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want to do is I have baseboard heat. So my contractor recommended I go to 4 stairs so it's top down instead of bottom up. And my question is, in order to get the registers, the heat registers, close to the outside wall, he would have to put in a drop ceiling. And my question is, how important is it to have the registers close to the outside wall?
Well, as far as the registers are concerned, the problem is how high is the ceiling? If the ceiling is only about 8 feet, 8 feet or 8.5 feet, it really doesn't make any difference where the register is as long as it's not being blocked by furniture or a door that may be swinging open from a bathroom or something like that. The whole point is not so much the register that provides the heat, but is where the return air duct is. A return air duct is very important because that is actually sucking the air out of the space in order to create a slight vacuum so that the air coming into the space is pressed into it so that you feel more comfortable. I am not in other words, you have to figure out where the person who's putting in the ductwork has to figure out a central location where the air will be drawn in by the return in order to provide that amount of cubic feet of air into the system in order to get a heat exchange to work.
But let me ask you a question. You said top down. Does that mean your air registers are going to be high up?
I'm getting everything up off the floor because we had flooding.
Oh,
so
okay.
All my mechanicals up top.
I have to just say, I'm just going to say it out loud, that, that's counterintuitive to heating. Heating, you want to have your registers down low. You know that, right? And for air conditioning, you want them up high.
I would prefer that, but I can't afford to.
Okay.
I can't afford to rebuild then, it again if it floods.
I know it's a compromise, and we have to do.
Yeah.
I understand that. Well, lots of luck to you. And what part of Staten Island?
No, Red Bank, New Jersey.
Oh, Red Bank. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks.
Lots of luck to you. Good luck
okay.
on that.
And, you know, we have a number of people who have called in with the answer.
Really?
What they think is the answer, anyway.
I'm surprised.
To the question. You want to read the question one more time?
Yes, I can. Right. Name the architect that wrote 10 books on architecture over 2,000 years ago. Today, he is being credited with the first introduction of ergonomics when it comes to stair design, safety, and comfort.
Okay, Dorothy from Manhattan, what do you think it is?
Sinan?
No.
Oh. Well,
thank you for calling us. Now we have Steve from, I don't know where you're from, Steve, but who do you think it is?
I'm from New Jersey. Is it Pericles?
No.
Okay.
Now I know how the people on American Idol feel, just telling people they can't
actually,
sing.
Actually, these 10 books that he wrote are on all kinds of Corinthian architecture and everything else. And it was, and it's mandated to learn about this architect when I went to Pratt Institute. It was a mandated course.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Tom? Tom from the Upper West Side.
Well, it's Vitruvius.
So did you go to Pratt?
No, I didn't. I'm a self-taught dilettante architect decorator type, and I know that Vitruvius was the basis for Palladio, which has been the basis for so many who have come after, and so he's the original.
Yes, Marcus Vitruvius Polo. He was in the court of Julius Caesar, but most important, where we work with is that the stair design was very important, and he figured out how to make stairs consistent from foot to head and to make it more comfortable for people to ascend and descend. Unfortunately, the handrail came a century or two later.
Well, he had a wonderful part in history in being the guy who wrote it down, because there were, of course, architects before him, but he was the architectural historian, I guess, of his day, and theorist. So.
Yes, he was also a general.
Yeah.
And we're going to put you on hold,
okay.
And my producer will take your address, and we will be sending,
a book called Save Energy, Save Money by George Merlis and Alvin Ubell.
Okay, and thank you so much for calling us and knowing the answer. A listener in Connecticut asks, what does it mean if the water coming out of a specific sink seems to smell? It seems to be the water, not the drain. Is it the water? And what can I do about it?
Okay. So it's one. I'm assuming that it's one drain, but not all of them.
Well, unfortunately, this is written to us.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's make the assumption that it's just one sink.
Yes.
And if it's that case, it's actually the water. It actually could be the crud or the dirt that's in the aerator. And the aerator is what the water goes through before it leaves the spout. And that's to add air to the water to make it feel like more water. Well, dirt and debris, they say mold grows in there. And maybe just take that out, turn it backwards, clean it out, and then run it again. And that might stop it. If it's coming from the drain, it may be that the drain stop is coming out. I got to know more about the smell, whether it's more of a sewer smell or it's more of a moldy smell.
Yeah, well, what happens if it's a sewer smell?
If it's a sewer smell, then there's something wrong with the waste pipe. Either it has an unvented plumbing fixture, which makes that gurgling sound that I spoke about earlier, or it doesn't have a trap at all, and it's connected directly into the waistline. So therefore, you have an open pipe right to waistlines, right to the main waistline in the building.
And is that dangerous?
Yes.
Yeah, because the fermentation of sewage produces methane gas. And that could be not only noxious, but it also could be toxic, and it could be explosive.
Flammable. Yeah. Okay.
We like the explosive better.
Okay. it's a more explosive word.
We go now to Kathy from Long Island. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Thanks for taking my call. I have ordered a light fixture over the Internet. Probably not a good idea. And it's supposed to be installed, I realize now, on a regular flat ceiling. But the place that I want to put it, the ceiling is at an angle, slanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, is there's electricity there, but is there some way to adapt this fixture?
Yes, there is.
Hooray.
What you can find in an electrical supply store, they have what they call almost like a swivel kind of device that goes to a ceiling box. The ceiling box has to go on the slant the way it is,
mm-hmm.
but it could hang off of that ceiling box on an angle fitting. Does this have a chain or on that fixture coming off the ceiling, or is it a fixed?
I think it's a fixed. It says it comes with 3 separate rods.
So all right, if it's fixed, then
can I ask you a question? Because there's a couple of things. Is this a hanging fixture?
Yes, it is. It's a pendant.
It's a pendant.
Right.
Okay, so. Yeah,
Swivel type. It's a swivel thing where the wire goes through, and it goes through.
But I know what kind she's talking about because I have similar ones that I'm hanging in my kitchen where it bolts right into the top cap and it's straight. So she's going to have to get an angle, like you said, an angle box.
An angle box or a swivel.
A swivel.
And then that goes into what is known as a hickey where the wire goes through and comes out again.
Okay,
yes.
So at an electrical supply
house, yes.
Is where I would get that.
Bring them the fixture or at least the instructions for the fixture and tell them what your issue is and they can give you the parts that you need.
Right.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your help.
And
no
thank
problem.
You. And I never thought we'd be saying hickey on a segment like
this. It's an electrical fitting. It's in a fitting that looks like a coupling, but it has a hole in the middle of it so the wire could be snaked out of the pipe that you connect it to.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of your calls to 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org, or you can also write us at, you can tweet us at Leonard Lopate, or contact us through our Facebook. There's so many different ways to talk to us. Isn't that incredible? Used to be just, you had to dial the number.
It was just you and me.
Yeah. Be back right after this. You are the guy that I idolize. My favorite dial once broke in two. Of course I came crying to you. I didn't know just what to do. You've been gone such a long, long time. How you gonna fix this broken heart of mine? And we're back with the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell, Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And we mentioned earlier that mold has been a major problem as a result of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. How do you deal with the kind of mold that will bring, let's say, if the water filled up your basement or the first floor of your house?
Well, let's understand, a lot of people don't really comprehend that mold is all over the world. There is no place in the world in the middle of the ocean, in the South Pole, the North Pole, the equator. Mold of many, many different species are all over the world. And these mold spores need 3 major elements. They need a nutrient to grow, they need the right temperature, and they need moisture. So if you eliminate any one of these 3 items, actually the fourth one is the spore itself, which is like a seedling put into the ground and it grows flowers. The same thing with mold.
Mold is a kind of a plant?
It is a plant. And what you have to do is, what the warnings are, is there are a lot of mold abatement companies that come in and they charge a lot of money to disinfect what the mold is growing on, so they die periodically. But if they don't control the moisture in that space or that house, that building, the mold is going to come back. And the idea is that you may need a dehumidifiers, you may need to do something in order to control that moisture, in order to bring the relative humidity down below 50%. I would like to see it at 45%. And if you can get it that low, the mold will not come back. And sometimes the mold disappears.
But if you get mold because of flooding from Hurricane Sandy, you have to get rid of the drywall, don't you?
Well, because that's deteriorated and the spores are embedded into the drywall. I was fortunate. Much of my house is plaster, and it just gets the surface got saturated, but the basement, which did have sheetrock, had to be removed totally. But I put in two dehumidifiers in my basement, and the mold that grew on some of the wood beams actually disappeared.
So, and that's, you know, that's the really the point of it. It has to do with moisture, relative humidity. One class I took where the instructor said there's no such thing as a mold problem. What you have is an uncontrolled moisture or water problem. And that's really the crux of it. Once you get the humidity level down below a certain point. Now, the problem with Sandy is a lot of these buildings haven't been addressed for a real long time. So they've had water in them. They had moisture levels in them for weeks and weeks, and even some of them are at the point of months.
What about the salt water? Does that also affect this?
It does, because once it gets wet, the water evaporates out of the salt water, leaves the salt behind, and now this moisture that's in the air, which is still these basements and cellars are at, you know, 90 to 100% relative humidity in the house, and it's constantly feeding, it's going to create. So just because it's salt water doesn't mean that the salt is a problem. It's not as bad for when it's in there, but once it gets out and now you have a wet environment, you're still going to have a mold growth problem. As far as the disinfectant, like my father said, is that even if you bring, you know, if you don't bring the humidity level down and you go and disinfect, it's going to grow back. I don't care how much bleach you throw at it or any other disinfectant, the moisture level, you got to get that humidity level down.
As far as the salt is concerned, that's a bad thing for the electrical service systems and everything else, because that's salt is very corrosive, and it screws up the whole electrical service system. And you could see this white powdery stuff at the main panel box accumulating, and that's either copper oxide or aluminum oxide that is taking place as a result, not so much of the moisture, but the salt itself is doing damage. The mold is one issue, and the salt is a completely separate issue.
But once you get that, and the thing is that anything could be mold food, whether it's the paper off the sheetrock, whether it's the latex paint, even our hair and skin cells that are, you know, we all know that the majority of the dust in our houses is us. And that, when it gets wet, starts to turn to mold food.
Don't I remember you telling me, Al, at some point that if you have a mold problem, you can paint over it with a metallic paint and then paint over that with regular paint, and that will seal the mold?
That's only for spot kinds
of... Actually, yeah. Let me correct. What it was if you have a stain from water that keeps bleeding through that metallic paint. As far as mold is concerned, if you just cover over the mold is still going to be there underneath the paint.
And they'll be eating away at the wall.
No, exactly.
Well, the spores will be there. If the spores will be like having a box of seeds that you're going to plant corn or something like that. If you don't water it, you don't give it a nutrient, like the soil is a nutrient for the seed to start to propagate, the mold spores will stay dormant for hundreds of years and leave it alone. The point is keeping the relative humidity down, that the spores remain dormant.
I have to say the one lucky thing, if we want to call it all lucky, is the fact that we're heading into winter and relative humidities are much lower in the wintertime. And so that is helping dry out a lot of these buildings just by the fact that it's cold out, that the relative humidity is low. But the fact that if you can get those buildings warm and have low humidity, that would be better.
Well, let's speak to Minda from Brooklyn, who has a problem along these lines. Hi, Minda.
Hi.
What's up?
My mother's house in South Jersey was flooded about 54 inches.
Wow.
We changed the electricity, the boiler, the hot water heater. Mm-hmm. We have a central air conditioning unit in the basement, mm-hmm. and it was submerged. And so we want to remove it. We're not going to replace it. We want to remove it. Mm-hmm. But it has this big bag, like a giant black garbage bag mm-hmm. attached in the back. And a couple of people said when they were doing work, oh, that probably got full of water. And we're trying to figure out the best way to remove it. The company that installed the air conditioner said that they would do it, not too expensively. Mm-hmm. But they don't seem paying any attention to an issue like mold. If water got in there, if there's moldy
water
in there.
Now, this black bag, this is on the outside of the building?
No, in the basement.
And this black bag?
There's like a unit. There's a big unit.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know what you call them, you know, the the duct work that goes up, that's going to go upstairs. Mm-hmm. And then in the back somewhere, there's this giant black bag, which seems to be part of the unit.
Black bag? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I'm kind of thinking what
kind of like a like filter a, bag?
No, probably more like a plenum. Where does ducts go in and out of that thing? Here's what I recommend you do, because we're all at a bit of a loss.
Yeah, and I'm not there to look at it constantly.
Okay.
So
what I need to have you do is have someone take a picture of it.
Okay.
And email it to me at larry@ubell.com or larry@ubell.com. Either one will work, and I will look at it and give me some information like telephone number, name. And all that.
Oh, that's really nice of you.
And then I'll take a look, and I'll let you know what it is.
But remember to spell the name Ubell correctly, U-B-E-L-L.
And also give me a telephone number, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not sure what that is, but I'm sure I can figure it out.
And good luck.
Donna in New Jersey posted this on our show page. My son suffers from allergies, and I've heard that it's recommended to clean the air ducts in the home to help purify the air. Wondering whether it's worth the hassle and expense to do that.
First of all, let's understand what the filters in air conditioning systems and heating systems on forced air system is not for you and I. It is for the system, to keep the system clean so that it operates properly. If you want to get the particulate matter out of the atmosphere, you're going to need a whole different kind of a system, like a HEPA filter, an electronic filter, or something like that, in order to extract the particles. As far as the filter is concerned, if it's for air conditioning, that's very important, because the particulate matter will stick to the to the heat exchange coils, because they're wet and they're dripping with moisture. So those filters during the summertime, they have to be changed at least once a month if you're operating them on a regular basis.
But also, she asked about the ductwork. And yes, I do think the ductwork should be cleaned. There are professional companies that come in with special equipment that come in and suck out, because especially if these buildings have had water in them, there is dirt and particulate matter in these ducts, and they need to be cleaned, definitely.
Let's talk to Maggie. Hi, Maggie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
I just bought a house in Seacliff, New York, on Long Island, and the inspection went fine, but when my husband and I went into the basement a few months ago, we discovered that about 3 feet of a supporting beam, was missing that supports the first floor's floor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look out on the first floor, you see that there's a 3x3 square that's different wood than the rest of the house.
Right.
So could there have been something on the first floor that they had to remove, that they took away 3 feet of beam?
Go ahead. Well, it's possible that they did take that away. Was this visible? Is this clearly visible?
Oh, yes.
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 It depends. You know, one has to look at, you know, what's around it and how it's supported to see. I mean,
my husband put lollygags all over.
You mean lolly columns.
Lolly columns.
While you were lollygagging in the other room.
Exactly. lolly columns all over the rest of the beam. So, I don't know. Should we do something else? Is something better,
you know,
better idea?
I would love to tell you what to do, but without actually, and I'm going back to the other phone call, without visually seeing what it is, I really couldn't tell you. So again, if you want to send me, you know, a picture of it, and I'll take a look, and I will give you an opinion.
Well, my concern is that part of a beam is missing.
But not necessarily, because I've done many buildings where there's a section of the floor where it looks like the beam is missing, but in reality, they framed out around it so they can get a vent through there, or they need to get some. So I don't know what happened here. I don't want to put her into hair on fire.
There might have been a vent
there
before.
There might have been a reason why this has occurred. So without actually seeing what's going on, a lot of people will see something and think that's a problem. So I don't know. But if you want to send me a picture, you can send it to, like I said, larryubell@gmail.com or larry@ubell.com.
Yeah. James from New York City. Hi, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Some very expensive wallpaper from Maya Romanoff, and I have to remove a very small piece, which is butting against one of the longer pieces, and I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how I can remove that without disturbing the piece next to it.
Well, it depends upon what that wallpaper is made out of, or whether it truly is actually a cellulose kind of material, because in order to break up the adhesive in some way, you have to figure out what kind of adhesive it is and what kind of solvent will loosen up that adhesive in order to take the wallpaper off.
But a lot of times, if it's been there for a while, generally there are steam units that you can put over it that will put, you know, steam or moisture into that area, warm moisture, and that material will peel up easily. So that there are, if you look online, you can find actually a wallpaper remover that uses steam.
Now, we have very little time, but I wanted to sneak Rebecca in. You have to make it very fast, Rebecca.
What's up, Rebecca?
Okay, thanks. A tree fell on our roof during the Hurricane Sandy, and we replaced the roof, and the roofer put on a ridge vent, which
right.
apparently is pretty standard.
Right.
But I find that the house is drafty now, and I wanted to know why. And also, the roofer said he'd cover it up again if he thought it would help the draft. Is there a problem with recovering a vent once it's cut in?
It's probably the build. What I would do, and well, here's the thing. Did he also put in soffit vents?
No.
Okay, that's the problem. The ridge vent is creating a vacuum condition in your building, sucking the air and the heat out of your building. He has to come back and now put in soffit vents. And if you have a proper soffit vent, a proper ridge vent, you won't get ice damming either. So he has to come back and put in some soffit vents. Okay? I'm going to say something mean. He should have known that. But that's what he needs to do. Okay? I don't mean to be negative.
So
I don't mean to be negative, but, you know.
But you've seen similar things happen.
Yes. Ridge vents are very good.
In the course of your career.
Yes. Ridge vents are very good, except when they get snowed on, and then they stop working. Okay? So.
Okay. I want to repeat some of the things that you have suggested to listeners. If they have a problem and they haven't been able to get through to us here, or it involves something visual, they should take a photograph of it.
Definitely.
And then send it to you.
Yes.
Yes. Either at Larry at AccurateBuilding.com, Larry at Ubell, UBELL.com, or even my iPhone, which would be LarryUbell@gmail.com. Any one of them. Send it to all of them. That way you'll probably get me somewhere.
And include a phone number.
Definitely.
And also be patient because I gather you actually have work to do in your
yes.
in your spare time.
Yeah, we do have to make a living.
Yes. when we're not radio stars, we actually have to go work.
Meanwhile, I look forward to seeing you the next time you're on the show. My guests have been the gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. That's how people find you in the phone book?
Yeah,
yes.
And what will happen in the interim?
Well, what they can do is all of America should go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.